Praise God for your prayers. I've stopped coughing for 2 weeks. I arrived last Thursday, and I want to thank you from the heart. You have been very nice. Some of you gave me all kinds of herbal supplements. My wife had dengue, and you taught us how to overcome dengue. So now, if you have dengue, feel free to talk to me and to my wife. Believe it or not, our whole family had dengue, but by the grace of God, we are well, and I am back. Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome to CCF. Now, I'm excited about next Sunday. Where shall we meet next Sunday? Araneta, when will you attend? Morning or afternoon, this group? Okay, if you can go to the afternoon, go to the afternoon. Whatever it is, I want you to do 3 things. The 3 P's. The first P, you pray. Okay? You pray every day. That God will give us good weather, that God will allow those you've invited to come, and that God's word will be preached powerfully, lives will be transformed, you pray for me. Number 2, be present. Only once in a lifetime do you celebrate 25 years anniversary. So let's be there to give God the glory and the honor. Okay? The 3rd P, you participate. How do you participate? Get involved. If you want to volunteer in ushering, if you want to bring guests, whatever you do, talk to Pastor Insong. Where is Pastor Insong? He has been here for the 3 services, but get involved. Invite friends. Okay? Hello, good afternoon. Okay? Okay. I'm excited about the message today because God wants us to really be sure we are His follower. I've entitled the message something like this. Would Jesus call you disciple? So will you turn to your neighbor? Ask your neighbor that question. Would Jesus call you disciple? Oh, what is your answer? Would Jesus call you disciple? Why is that important? Let me give you the reasons why you would like to understand this message today. The Bible tells us, according to Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, not all who call upon the name of the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are many people today, every Sunday, they call upon the name of the Lord. Why is that so? Notice what Jesus is saying. A true believer will have an evidence. What is the evidence of a true believer? Look at verse 21. But he who does the will of my Father. In other words, you are saved by faith alone. But faith is never alone. There will be evidence, the evidence of obedience. The Apostle Paul tells us, test yourselves. Please read this with me. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ is in you unless you fail the test? Notice, he uses different words for tests. The first one, test, that's found in 1 Corinthians. Don't count it strange when you encounter various what? Trials. Various temptation. That's one kind of testing. The next word is examine. That's the word used to describe or to test gold. Whether it is pure or it is not pure. But do you notice something about this verse? Test yourselves. You are not to test your neighbor. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, test yourselves, not me. Test yourself. You are not to judge others. You are not to judge me, I'm not to judge you. You are to ask yourself, test yourselves. Are you a real follower of Jesus? So one more time, tell your neighbor, please test yourselves. Test yourself. A transaction with Jesus in the past that has no ongoing expression in our lives was a false transaction. Many Christians have this wrong notion. A Christian is somebody who invited Jesus once upon a time. The answer is yes and no. If you have truly invited Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith, it will impact your life. Your life will never be the same. But if you say, I've invited Jesus, it does not matter whether I've changed or I've not changed. I made a decision. My friend, that transaction is false. Understand? Because according to the Bible, Jesus made it very clear. Look at the context of Jesus in John chapter 8. He spoke these things. Many came to believe. That word believe, putting your faith in Him. The next verse, 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed. Now, that word believe is different from the first word believe in the original language. This word 31 has to do with mental agreement. Jesus is saying it's not enough to have mental agreement. Look at verse 31. Please read. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Notice verse 31. He was speaking to those who believe in the head. It has to go to the heart. Who is a true follower? Who is a true disciple? Please read. If you abide in my word. NIV version. If you continue in my word. Other version. If you live out God's word. If you make God's word central in your life, it does not mean perfection. It does not mean a disciple will never fail. It does not mean you are not going to make a mistake. But it means you are committed to follow Jesus. You're abiding by His word. Is it possible to fail? Yes. You get up again. Then you are truly disciples of mine. Meaning, there are false disciples and there are true disciples. Now let me ask you a question. Will Jesus call you a disciple? One more time. Please ask your neighbor, okay? Now don't look at me. Look at your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Please ask your neighbor a simple question. Will Jesus call you a disciple? And then, the test of a disciple. What's number one? Abide in His word. Number two, look at verse 32. You will know the truth. Number three, the truth will make you free. So the characteristics of a true disciple. Number one, he abides. You abide in God's word. Byproduct, you will know the truth. Number three, you'll be set free. Everybody, what are the qualities of a true disciple? Number one, abides in God's word. Number two, you will know the truth. And number three, set free. What do you mean by free? Please read this. Once upon a time, I was a teenager. Were you a teenager before? Okay. You notice. False freedom. I want to speak to young people today. I want to warn you in advance. Wrong freedom, false freedom. You can do anything you want. You are now a teenager. You are now a man. Do whatever you feel like doing. You don't have to listen to your parents. You are a free person. You are free. Exercise your freedom. That will lead to slavery. Let me give an example. During my time, what are the vices? Drinking, smoking, and Mary Jane. Now, do you know who is Mary Jane? Mary Jane is marijuana during our time. And my classmate will tell me, oh, Friday night, we shall meet Mary Jane. You are free. But notice what happens. Today, over 50 million people are dying because of tobacco smoking. 50 million die every year because of cigarette smoking. I submit to you, there are many people today, I will not be surprised even here this afternoon, you want to quit smoking, but you have a hard time quitting. Yes or no? There are people today who would like to quit drinking, but you have a hard time. Because once upon a time, you think you are free. Some of us are involved in computer games. You have become addicted to computer games. Because there is no true freedom apart from becoming a disciple of Jesus. The paradox of the Christian life. When you surrender your freedom to Jesus and you abide by His word, you become truly free. Because freedom is the ability to say no to sin and yes to the Lord. Now let me ask you, are you truly free? Some of us, we look free. You think you are free. You are not free. I want you to learn how to experience real freedom. And that's why this message is very important. The mission of CCF is very simple. To make disciples. To make disciples. Say that with me. To make disciples. To make disciples. Look at the theme. Look at our mission. Do you know why CCF has been going on for 25 years? For 25 years. What is our mission? Look. Right side. Go make disciples. Now those of you on the left side, don't look at the right. Look on your side. What does it say? Go make disciples. That's our mission. Why do we make disciples? Because Jesus tells us, it's not enough to share the good news. It's not enough to share the gospel. You have to make disciples. Teach people how to obey Jesus. Then they will experience real freedom. And once they experience real freedom, they are free to serve the Lord. Then you are free to bless others. Some of us are not free to serve others because you are imprisoned by yourself. You see, yourself can become your what? Prison. You are not free to bless others. I have good news for you. According to Jesus, abide in His Word. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you what? So, let me ask you, are you ready to experience true freedom? It does not mean you are perfect. Number one, a true disciple will abide in His Word. Say that with me. Abide. A true disciple, abide. The word abide means what? Continue in the Word of God. Let me give you an example. What does it mean to abide? Many years ago, we had a retreat in Baguio. It was a husband and wife retreat. Now, one lady came to my wife, so excited. She showed my wife her Bible. My wife was shocked with her Bible. Because in her Bible, there were so many erasures. When I say erasure, it's pentel pen. They erased the verse. She showed my wife, look at the verses I have erased. Wives, submit your husband. Notice, it's no longer in my Bible. My wife and I laugh. We just laugh. You know why? This girl was very sincere. In her mind, it's okay. You pick and choose what verse you like. Example, most of us, what verse do we like? My God shall supply all your needs. Okay, yeah. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you. Do you like that verse? Yes, okay, yeah. Now, what are the verses we don't like? The Bible says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself. Come and follow me. Oops. Now, you may not erase the scripture, but you erase it mentally. Now, many of you are doing that. You attend a service. What you like to hear, you get excited. What you don't like, somehow it just gets erased in the mind. When you go home, you have forgotten it completely. You know why? It's called selective listening. Well, that's not a disciple. A disciple does not stand over and above the Word of God. You submit to the Word of God. Whether you like it, you don't like it, you submit. You don't, judge the Word of God. Notice, the Bible does not say you obey the Word of God in order to become a Christian. The Bible does not say you obey in order to go to heaven. You are saved by grace. You are saved by faith alone. But the faith that saves is never alone. Therefore, if there are no changes in your life, the Bible is saying something is wrong with your belief. You see, if I believe Jesus is the Son of God, if I believe Jesus is the King of Kings, will I obey Him? Hello, hello, good afternoon. Will I obey Him? Yes. Why? The foundation is, who is Jesus? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings, you will want to obey Him. But if you don't know Jesus, if you think Christianity is a religion, my friend, the moment it is not convenient to follow Jesus, you will stop following Jesus because you don't know who is Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You see, many years ago, I made a decision. After realizing who is Jesus, He is my Savior. I am saved by grace, not by my good works. But because I am saved, I obey Jesus. You see the difference? So the evidence of obedience, the evidence of salvation is obedience. So who is a true disciple? My message today is just one main point. Will Jesus call you a disciple? Turn to your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. This time, one more time. Will Jesus call you a disciple? Oh, anong sagot ninyo? Don't worry. If your answer is, I don't know, I hope so, I have good news for you. By the time the service is over, I want you to say, yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus. You know why? I will commit to abide by His Word. It does not mean perfection. What does it mean to abide by His Word? Have you heard of the word buffet? You like buffet? If you invite me for lunch, for dinner, I tell you, when I was younger, I loved buffet. Now as I get older, I'm scared of buffet. One day, years ago, my son went to a place, buffet. I invited their cousins from Vancouver. So all of them were eating. I felt sorry for the restaurant. You know why? The restaurants, that restaurant underestimated the appetite of my sons. They were teenagers, okay? I have two boys, plus their cousins. They were very wise. They did not eat salad. That's cheap stuff. That's just vegetable. They didn't touch the vegetables. You know what they ate? Prime rib. I saw first time one, then second time, third time, fourth time, fifth, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I felt like vomiting already. 11, 12, 15 times. Not my son, the cousin. I realize some Christians are buffet Christians. What you like, you obey. What you don't like? No. Hey, a true disciple is what? You abide by God's word. Notice what's going to happen to you. Number two, you know what will happen to you, a true disciple? Please read. Verse 32. You will know the truth. Now, what does that mean, you will know the truth? Notice the sequence. Number one, you believe. Then you abide. You abide by His word. And then you will know the truth. What does that mean? Certain biblical truths are not experienced. You will not find out it is true until you abide by the word of God. Let me give you an example. How many of you have heard of GPS? When you drive a car in the States, many of them are equipped with GPS, Global Positioning System. Well, my son-in-law rented this car a few years ago. He went to the States. I remember we were in Texas, and our friend had a GPS. You know, I discovered something about GPS. They have different kinds of voices. This particular one that I was in with my friend, the voice was a male voice. Now, usually I hear female voices, but this is a male. So I asked the driver, our friend from Texas, I said, why is it male? He said, Pastor, very simple. I am tired of listening to women in my life. So I was thinking, I think it's a very domineering wife, a very domineering mother, and a very domineering sister. So he said, I'm tired of women telling me what to do. So now it's a male voice. You know, the GPS will tell you, 1 kilometer, turn left. Then you turn left. Next corner, turn right. So, my son-in-law was driving. He wanted to go to one of the biggest mall outlet. So he began to follow the GPS. Then he began to worry. His heart began to pound. Because the GPS was telling him to go away from the highway. To go away from the main road. He was now going into farm lots. He was going into dirt road. So he was getting nervous. So he had to make a choice. Will I follow my instinct or will I follow the GPS? He made a choice. I will follow the GPS. It led him to a river. When he reached the river, praise God, there was a pier. So he took the pier, $4, the car and all the passengers in the ferry. When he hit the other side of the river, he got out. The GPS said, turn left. The moment he turned left, he was in the destination. What's the lesson? Many times, when you begin to follow the word of Jesus, you will think it's nonsense. You will think something is wrong. Example, some of you, God says, pay your taxes. God says, put Him first. Devote one day a week for the Lord. You're in real estate business. Sunday is your busiest day. You now commit that to the Lord. It doesn't make sense. You are single. And the Bible says, be holy, be pure. Everybody is doing it. Everybody is having premarital sex. They are making fun of you. It doesn't make sense. But you just keep following the Lord. You know why? I'm going to tell you something. There will be times when you think you are in the farm, when you think you are in the wrong road, when you think everything is wrong. But let me tell you something. Don't give up. At the end of the destination, you will discover, this is the right one. But you will not know it is right or it is wrong until you what? Look at that verse. Look at verse 31, 32. Let's read that one more time. If you abide in my word, notice, if you continue, okay, in the NIV, if you continue abiding in my word, if you keep on holding to the word of God, what will happen? Please read. You are truly disciples of mine. And then what will happen? Notice the sequence. If you keep trusting the word of God, keep on walking with the Lord, what will happen? Then you will know what? The truth. Because the truth sometimes is not experienced immediately. Understand? And sometimes you will go through crisis. There will be a problem. I praise God for many of you. How many of you came last Friday? Our day of prayer and fasting. I tell you, next time you should come. You know why? We had a great time. Many of you came. Praise God. Now, one of our speakers was Pastor Bong. Now, Pastor Bong talked about crisis, economic crisis. Do we have economic crisis today in the Philippines? Yes or no? You know, according to Pastor Bong, there's no crisis. You know why? The Philippines is always in a crisis. There's no recession. If you ask me, in the States, they have recession. In the Philippines, this is normal. Normal. Crisis. No crisis. Where Christ is, no crisis. Amen? Praise God. Is Christ with you? Okay. Now, listen. Do you believe God will take care of His people? Yes or no? Will God provide for you? Now, some of you are now worrying. The bondage of worry. God will set you free. Provided you walk with Jesus. Are you willing to believe? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. Some of you are having crisis. Let me tell you why. Many times, it's because you fail to keep on trusting the Lord. God will never fail you. But you don't know when the provision will come. You don't know when He'll open the sea. You don't know when. But you just keep walking. So who is a true disciple? Abide, say that with me. Abide in the Word of God. And then you will know the truth. Now, the truth is not always evident. The Bible tells us there are many people lying today. You know why? These lies, according to the Bible, is from Satan. The Bible describes Satan as the father of all lies. That's John chapter 8. Now remember this truth. Somebody once said, if you keep repeating a lie, eventually people will believe it. You know who said that? One of the right-hand men of Adolf Hitler. You just keep repeating a lie, and people will begin to believe it. There's a Chinese proverb. The Chinese proverb said, San Ren Chen Wu, three men will produce a tiger. What does that mean? If the first messenger comes, and the messenger tells you, there's a tiger in the marketplace, will you believe? No. The second messenger comes, there is a tiger in the marketplace, will you believe? No. But when the third messenger comes with the same story, there's a tiger in the marketplace, you begin to believe. Satan will keep lying and lying and lying. Pretty soon, you begin to believe. Satan will use the media. Satan will use television. Satan will use celebrities. And they'll keep lying, lying, lying. You know, there was a survey made by George Barna, the belief of American Christians. And he was shocked. I was shocked when I read the report. 75% of evangelical born-again Christians, this is in America, okay, not the Philippines, 75% do not believe in absolute truth. 23% only believe in absolute truth. You know why? That David has been successful. If you don't have the Word of God, you just follow the teachings of the world, you will not understand the meaning of truth. Christianity is not a matter of your opinion versus my opinion. It has to do with truth. Either Jesus is true. He is the only way. He is the truth and the life. Or He's lying. You see, modern thinking is this. Accept everybody. Regardless of their religion. It's called pluralism. You must be open-minded. Whatever is your religion, it's okay as long as you're sincere. No one can be so proud to say, only my religion is the correct one. Do you understand that mindset? That mindset is totally, sounds reasonable, but it is totally illogical. You know why? Listen to me. 2 + 2 is what? 4. The very nature of truth is very exclusive. 2 + 2 is not 3.9. 2 + 2 is not 4.1. Hello? Don't be mad at me. 2 + 2 is what? 4. Very exclusive, very narrow. When it comes to spiritual truth, it's the same. So don't be misled by people saying, you know, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You are very narrow. The meaning of tolerance is this. Biblical tolerance. You love one another. You don't believe in what I believe. I love you. I will continue to love you. But it does not mean I will accept what you are saying. Understand? Let me ask you a question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Good, it's getting louder. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Number one, what must you do? Abide in God's Word. Number two, you will experience the truth. You know, this farmer was from North Dakota. He bought a very expensive barometer. You know what's a barometer? Years ago, a barometer is used to tell whether there's going to be a storm or not a storm. Today, you don't need it. You have weather channel. Well, this farmer put this barometer in a very nice place in his house. Then he saw the barometer. Predicted storm. The next morning, he looked at the sky. The prediction is storm. Look at the sky. No storm. Sunshine. Blue sky. 3 days in a row. Storm. 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 Yeah, the farmer got so angry. He got the barometer. He decided to go to the city. I will have a refund. When he went to the city, he got the refund on his way back. 10 miles away on his way back. He saw the sky. Dark. Ominous. When he went to his farm, when he went to his house was completely blown away. The furniture were on the trees. The bathtub was 3 blocks away in the farm. His next question, where are my children? Then the mother came out. I believe in the barometer. You know what the mother did? The mother, when she saw the dark cloud, she got the children and went in the cellar. Their lives were protected. When God gives you His commandments, when God gives you His word, it is for your protection and my protection. But it may sound illogical. You may think you're in the wilderness, but the word of God is our what? GPS. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. If your classmates is gonna laugh at you, if your friend will laugh at you, if your professor will laugh at you, friends, truth has nothing to do with popularity. It has nothing to do with majority decision. When Jesus says something, are you willing to believe it? That's a true disciple. And then the Bible tells us, look at verse 32. The truth will make you what? Free. Free from what? Well, let's look at the Bible. What does it say? The Bible tells us, this is what I read a while ago. I mentioned this to you. You are your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. Does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar, the father of lies. To be free from the lies of Satan, there is no other antidote. You got to go back to the word of God. Because Satan is a liar. He will tell you, God does not love you. He will tell you, you are hopeless. He will tell you, you are not going to go to heaven. You are so sinful. You got to understand the truth. You know, the Jewish people did not understand this. Look at verse 33. They answered Jesus, we are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. I want you to notice the grammar of verse 34. It says, everyone who commits what? Everyone who commits sin. It is in the present continuous tense. If you keep on committing sin as a lifestyle, the Bible says you are a slave of sin. You may not be a child of God. The Bible is not saying a disciple will never sin. But if you keep sinning and sinning as a lifestyle, you keep lying and lying as a lifestyle, there is no power in you. There is no desire to change. You are not a disciple. You are a slave of sin. And then he tells you, a slave does not remain in the house forever. The son shall remain in the house. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free. What will help you overcome the power of sin? Answer, Jesus. Hey, how many of you have heard of this guy, Frank Di Pasquale? Frank Di Pasquale was the right-hand man of Bernie Madoff. Do you remember Bernie Madoff? The guy who swindled over $60 billion. When I was in New York City, I read about this article. This happened on around August 12, August 13, this month. Frank Di Pasquale, the right-hand man of Bernie Madoff, the chief financial officer of their company, confessed for the last 20 years they have been cheating people. This guy finally discovered that he's going to be sentenced based on all of the things he did over 150 years in prison. This guy is finished. But why did he come clean? This is what shocked me in his testimony. And this is exactly what he said. You can read this in the blogs, in the internet. He said, I knew what I was doing was criminal, but I continued doing it. Why? He was in prison. He was a prisoner of sin. He knew he was wrong, but he couldn't get out of it. The truth is this. Can he get out of it? That is the danger of sin. First, it makes you think it's okay. Why do you think people commit sin? Because they are deceived. Satan will tell you it's okay. Nobody will find out. There are no consequences. Why do you think teenagers fall for premarital sex all the time? Why do they sacrifice the purity of their body to some men who will eventually dump them? They don't see the truth. They're blind. They cannot see. Because Satan is a liar. So, if I have a message for young people, older people, abide by the word of God. It's for your protection. It's for your blessing. The Bible says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I guarantee you something. If this guy, Frank DiPasquale, only had a time machine, if only he knew what will happen to him, for the rest of his life, he'll be sent to jail. No bailout, nothing. He will lose his family. He will lose the respect of society. He will lose his yacht. He will lose his mansion. He will lose everything. Do you think he will keep on doing it? Yes or no? I don't think so. Will a man rob a bank knowing that he is on video, knowing that he'll be captured next week? I don't think so. Because sin is ultimately a deception. A true disciple, according to Jesus, you believe in him, you abide in his word. And then you will know the truth. You see, today you will hear messages. You'll be watching television from your friends, from your classmates. You got to discern what is true, what is not true. And you will not know unless you study the word of God. You see, today, when I read books, when I read magazines, when I hear people speaking, I can discern whether that is true or that is not true. Why? Simple. Anything that is against the Bible, I put a question mark. Because I am a follower of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is truth. Two kinds of truth. Reality that you see with your eyes and the ultimate truth. Now, both are true. But there's a higher truth. It's called the ultimate truth. Life on earth is temporal. Yes, there's logic. Enjoy your life now. There's logic. But that's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is this. Not only enjoy your life now, enjoy your life for eternity. That's the ultimate truth. And how do you have both? Follow Jesus. Now, is it possible to sacrifice your present pleasure? Yes or no? Many times, God will ask you to sacrifice present pleasure for the sake of long-term pleasure. That's the truth. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, Jesus will give you the power to be free. This morning, this afternoon, I've asked Pastor Joy Batumbakal to give a testimony of how the Lord has continuously helped him to become free from sin. Let's welcome Pastor Joy Batumbakal.
Good afternoon. You see, after some time of prayer, God gifted our family with a trip to the United States in March 2002. One of the sites that we went to was the San Francisco Bay Aquarium. You see, I had 5 discount coupons of $5 each, which I cut from the newspaper for the aquarium. And so I lined up to get our tickets. I noticed that the coupon is expired the day before. But you know, I still insisted on using it because my justification was maybe the teller would not read the fine print that it is expired. I got through. And immediately, I called my family in. I said, let's go inside the aquarium. And so I let them inside. And then I went in and the entrance doors closed. Immediately, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, it was like a sledgehammer that is pounding on my heart. And if you are aware of a pneumatic drill, the one that they use to put a hole in the street, that was what was, you know, pounding my heart. It was like a pneumatic drill. It was winter time, and I was sweating. And you know what? There was a voice that somehow mentioned to me, "You lied. You're a cheat, and you're a pastor." And you know, it's interesting to note that it's only my family that enjoyed the aquarium. If you will look at the picture, these are my children enjoying the school of fish. God's creation, while it is very obvious, I am not in the picture because I was so miserable. And I did not remember what is inside the aquarium, so I just have to rely on pictures. Picture number two will show you that I was there, but you see me smiling on the outside, but I was agonizing in the inside. You know, I was so miserable, filled with guilt and with sorrow. And so I began to make my confession to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? I am going to make it right with the ticket seller." And so we went through the aquarium. It was the longest 1 hour of my life, you know, inside that aquarium. And finally, I saw the exit door. And I was so happy. And you know, when the exit door opened, guess who I saw waiting for me? It was Pastor Peter Tanchi. I'm just kidding. The picture will show us that it is our former cell intern who, with his family, migrated to San Francisco. But notice my next picture there with the arrow. You notice I am the only one kind of disconnected in the picture because I was already headed towards the ticket booth. And while I was walking, I was mentioning a prayer to the Lord. I said, "Lord, can you please keep the coast clear? No people, because I am going to confess to the ticket seller and ask forgiveness that I'm a liar and a cheat. And I do not want people around to hear my confession lest I become embarrassed." And you know, God was good. It was a coast clear. And so I went to the girl and I asked her, "Do you remember me?" She looked at me. Then I said, "You know, I am the person that passed on 5 expired discount coupons a while ago. And I would like to ask your forgiveness for lying and cheating. Here is $25, the equivalent of the discount." She smiled and she said, "Sir, it is all right for us to accept coupons, even though they are expired." I said, "What? All this time, I've been so miserable inside the aquarium. And yet, the coupons would be okay." I never really enjoyed, and really, I just remember it by pictures. Let me ask you a question. If God is going to give me a chance to go back to San Francisco, where do you think would be the first place I will go? Of course, the aquarium. And so I praise God that He allowed me to make it right with God and with the company, care of the girl. Thank you.
You know, Pastor Joey shared this during our day of fasting and praying. The punchline is this. According to the girl, there is no expiration date for the discount coupon. I'm reminded of the blood of Jesus. I'm reminded of the promises of Jesus. No expiration date. Praise God. Can you realize why we need Jesus? Because if Pastor Joey, already a pastor, can cheat for $5 per person, he's just like me. He's just like you. But the Bible says, you abide in God's word. It's our GPS. Now, the beauty with the GPS is this. When you make a wrong turn, what will the GPS do? It will recalculate. It will tell you what is the nearest way to go back to your destination. If you make another wrong turn, it will recalculate. The word of God is always your GPS. If you make a mistake, it will teach you how to go back. But don't believe the lies of Satan. You know what Satan will tell you? You're hopeless. You're finished. Then you will have this guilt complex. There's nothing wrong with feeling guilty, provided you learn to deal with it. You come to Jesus. How do you overcome sin? How do you overcome the power of sin? Not by your willpower. Not by saying, "From now on, I will have so much willpower, I will not sin." It's not going to work. You know how to overcome sin? The secret of holiness is to know the grace of God. Look at Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The secret of living a life that is free from sin is to focus on what Christ has done for you. What did Jesus do for you? Do you know what He did for you? He died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross for you, did He pay for all of your sins? Yes or no? Or just your past sin? He paid for all of your sins. And because He paid for all of your sins, what happened to your sins? Are they forgiven? Because they are forgiven, the Bible tells us, what in the world are you doing? Sinning. You see, I desire to be holy because of what Christ did for me. The Lord changed my heart. A heart of a stone to a heart of flesh. I'm not perfect, but I know I'm forgiven. The grace of God enables me to be holy because of His love for me and my love for Him. Because I love Jesus, I want to be holy. Unless you are motivated by the love of God, by His grace, and your love for Him, you will never be able to live a holy life. You will be under the bondage of sin. You need a higher power to overcome sin. And the higher power is the love of God in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, my friend, is the message of the gospel. And that's why CCF exists. We want to tell people that Jesus died on the cross and paid for all of their sins. And you come to Him by faith. The moment you honestly repent, He will forgive you completely. And because you are forgiven, you get up and you stop sinning. Because the Bible says, why are you still sinning? I like this verse. True freedom, I like this quotation. True freedom is not the power to do anything you like to do. True freedom is the ability to say no to sin and yes to what is right. Example, some of you may not have a problem with obvious sin. Now look at me now. What about the sin of forgiveness? What about the sin of unforgiveness? You know, I realize many Christians are in bondage. For example, some of you are in bondage to worry. Yes or no? Do you worry? Do you worry that you don't worry? You know, some people, they're in bondage. They're afraid of death. You know why they're afraid of death? They don't realize Jesus is a solution. If you are afraid of dying, if you are afraid, if there is fear, there's anxiety, you have to realize where are you placing your security. So, the bondage of insecurity, the bondage of fear, the solution is Jesus. Now, what about unforgiveness? I'm reminded of the story. It's very important. In my counseling, in my observation with many Christians all over the world, one of the number one bondages, understand? Is what? Unforgiveness. One of the bondages, if not one of the greatest bondages that most people have as believers, is unforgiveness. What are the symptoms? Anger, bitterness. I'm reminded of the story of this policeman. He's an NYPD police officer. He was in Central Park, and he saw a group of teenagers, and there was a lot of bicycles being stolen, and he wanted to find out what these teenagers were doing. To make a long story short, the teenagers turned against him. One shot him in the eye. He fell down. Then they shot him in the mouth. And then he was shot again. In his mind, he's dead. But something happened. He was lingering between life and death. He made it. For the next 1.5 years, he was in hospital. Now, the worst thing is this. When he was shot in the mouth, the bullet hit the spinal cord. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He was paralyzed. He became very angry. He was angry at God. He was angry at the person who shot him. He wanted revenge. He was full of bitterness. Now remember, he was just married a few months ago. The wife was pregnant. After 6 months, the wife gave birth. And when he saw the son, he had tears in his eyes. He cannot hug the son. Paralyzed. But you know, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord said, if you want to get well, if you want to recover, you need to forgive. He said he decided he wanted to live. He wanted to get well. He made a decision to forgive. Some of you are angry because people have taken advantage of you. But you don't realize when you don't forgive people, when you hold on to bitterness, you are a victim twice. The first time is what they did to you. The second time, you allow that person to stay in your heart. Imagine, you allow the person to stay in your heart rent-free because you're bitter. That person is destroying you and you don't realize this because that's the lie of Satan. You know what Satan says? If you just forgive him, it's too simple. You got to punish the person. Don't forgive the person. That is a lie. The Bible tells us, believe it or not, there are Christian counselors. You know how they counsel people? You don't have to forgive them immediately. Allow them to process the pain. Allow them to process the hurt. Don't force people to forgive immediately. I learned when I was a young Christian, my mentor told me, delayed obedience is disobedience. The Bible tells us, as God has forgiven us, we are to forgive one another. It's a command to forgive one another. When Jesus was dying on the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Stephen was being killed by stoning, He said, forgive them. Don't count this sin against them. Some of you are a prisoner of bitterness, anger. And I'm concerned. You are enslaved because you don't want to forgive. Now, some of you are a prisoner of the past. How do I know you're a prisoner of the past? What are the symptoms of being a prisoner of the past? Here are the symptoms. You keep blaming others. And worst of all, you use a Tagalog word, kung. Kung hindi lang nangyari yan. Kung ganito nangyari. What is kung in English? If only he did not do this. If only. And then worse, you'd blame yourself. If only I did not do that. If. What is if in English? If. So many of us are in prison. You cannot move forward. You know why? You live in the past. You keep looking at the past. Now listen to me. You are going to make mistake. But you got to learn to move forward. Don't allow the past to paralyze you. You know, I love this quotation. True freedom is freedom to be myself as God made me and meant me to be. You know, God wants you to bloom. He wants to set you free. There was a family, the Clark family. They were from Europe. They wanted to go to the States. So the man saved money. He had 9 children. He wanted to board the ship to go to the States. 1 week before boarding time, his youngest son was beaten by a dog. And worst of all, the doctor said, your son is going to be quarantined. He cannot leave the house. The father got so angry. The father saved all of his money to bring the whole family to America. And now they are quarantined. He cannot leave. The son cannot leave. He got angry at God. You know why? Because God allowed his son to be beaten. He was angry at his son because the son was careless. He was beaten. And of course, he was angry at the dog because the dog bit the son. He was angry at everybody. You know, some of you are angry. You're just angry with what happened. It's a dead end street. The day came when the ship departed from Europe to America. He was very sad. A few days later, headline in the newspaper, Titanic sunk. When the mother read the newspaper, the mother got so excited. The mother said, where is our youngest boy? Then he looked at the youngest boy. Thank you for saving our lives. Now what should the father do? I submit to you, the father should hug the dog. You shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. True freedom is the freedom to be yourself. The way God designed you. And to bloom. Now, many of us are not blooming. You are enslaved. You are in bondage. You want to be free? The paradox of the Christian life. Surrender your freedom to Jesus. And you will really be free. Surrender your rights to the Lord. And then you'll experience the most amazing thing. You will be free. By the grace of God, many of us have experienced that freedom. I don't live for the sake of public opinion. I am not enslaved to public opinion, to what people will say or think about us. You know why? My number one audience is Jesus. I hope you are not enslaved to people's opinion. You are free to be all that God wants you to be. Do you like to be free? Come to Jesus. I want you to imagine if all of us will practice abiding in God's Word for 1 month. I want you all to practice reading the Word of God in the morning, listening to the Lord, understand, to abide in Him. You ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? And you listen to His voice. Compare that with God's Word for 1 month, every day. Be a true disciple of Jesus. Practice the habit of abiding in God's Word every day for 1 month. For example, next week is coming. Every day, you read the Bible, then you ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? If Jesus tells you to invite somebody, you invite that person. But for 1 month, you invite Jesus into your life in every area, business, private life, family life. You abide in His Word for 1 month every day. Will you do that? And then I will tell you something. You will transform your family. You will transform your office. And this country will be transformed if all of us will be true disciples of Jesus. Amen? But some of you have not begun. You got to begin today. Make a commitment to abide by His Word. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, some of us are struggling with sin, with vices. Lord, we fail to realize You promise we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And You promise You will be the one to set us free. The Son will set us free. So Lord Jesus, I now pray for Your people here, those who are struggling. Will You make Yourself very real? Lord, as they cry out to You, perhaps they are struggling with pornography. Perhaps they are struggling with vices. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, we claim Your promise. The Son will set you free. Lord Jesus, will You set Your people free? Lord, I know it is not immediate. Many times it's a process. But whatever it is, I thank You for Joey Batumbaka, for what You have done in his life. You have set him free from cheating, from lying. You have set him free to serve You. And I pray that all of us here will be set free to serve You, to love You, to honor You, to be all that You want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.